This morning, we have a healthcare topic for you. It's something that we do every year. And we'll be talking about vision and give you the opportunity to ask questions about things like glasses, contact lenses, other sorts of vision questions. And our guest is Dr. Jim Farron from Carle Clinic. He's been generous enough to do the show many times before. And so whatever, I'm sure he'll do his best to answer whatever questions you may have. And all you need to do is call us. Just keep in mind, I try to mention this often when we do health programs, that we can't diagnose over the telephone. So there are some limits as to what we can do, but I certainly don't want to discourage anyone from calling. We do these shows to add to your health knowledge, and I'm sure that Dr. Farron would be happy to talk with you. So all you need to do to be a part of the show is to call us, 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455. At any point here, just give us a call. We'll take your call. Well, thanks very much for being here.
Pleasure to be here
again. Let's get you a little more directly on front of that.
Pleasure to be here with you again this morning.
Good. Very good. Well, there are a number of things we can talk about, and I expect we'll get some calls, but maybe in no particular order, why don't we talk a little bit about sunglasses to start? Because this is something that for people, whether they have to have their vision corrected or not, I think now the advice is, particularly now that we're becoming more concerned about the effect of ultraviolet light on the eyes, on anybody's eyes, I think the recommendation is that now, if you're going to be outside a lot and in the bright sun, you really should have some eye protection in the way of sunglasses. Mm-hmm. If you're looking for that, what should you look for?
Generally, sunglasses now are marked with their ability to filter ultraviolet. Ultraviolet as a, not all ultraviolet's bad, but there's a spectrum within that ultraviolet light band that is possibly harmful to the eye, and so I guess really the guiding theme would be buying an ophthalmic quality pair of sunglasses. Just a couple general thoughts. Usually the extremely inexpensive lenses are probably not such a great idea, because often they're just a piece of plastic put into a frame. And they have they'll cut down glare, so in a sense they are doing more harm than good, because they let more light in by relaxing the pupil because of cutting down the intensity of the light. And then, of course, that has the potential perhaps to cause cataracts and do some damage to the retina. Again, some studies have indicated these are possibilities. So really, the other thing, too, is people sometimes don't realize ophthalmic quality lenses themselves, I'm not even talking about sunglass lenses, do have the ability to filter ultraviolet. So they offer protection, and of course, with the sunglass aspect, they cut down the intensity.
Hmm. So how much, when you say don't, so you're saying don't buy the cheapest pair
that
you can find. But that also doesn't mean that you have to buy the most expensive pair. How much, in the ballpark, much do you think we'd be talking about to get something that would have UV protection?
Usually another thing that causes we're talking about prescription or just over-the-counter type sunglasses?
Oh, I guess I'm just thinking about over-the-counter sunglasses, yeah.
Boy, that's, again, I would think you'd probably need to spend probably $50 anyway.
Okay.
And again, don't work very... Frames often will cause the cost of lenses to be inflated. Inflated is not more expensive.
Yeah. If you want to have designer eyewear.
Yeah, and you can spend a relatively basic frame and a frame that may retail for several hundred dollars.
Yeah. So I guess though the important thing is to look on the sunglasses to see what it says in terms of UV protection.
Capability is, yes.
Okay. We have a caller. Why don't we go right to them in Savoy, line number one. Hello.
Hello. I have a question about bifocal contacts.
Oh, yeah, sure. Bifocal contacts, yeah.
I've been wearing bifocals for the last couple of years, and I'm trying to go into contacts and soft contacts, and the doctor has run me through four different kinds of soft contacts. My vision range is optimum between about 3 and 6 feet. Is there a reason why reading and seeing distance should be so difficult?
With the bifocal contact lens,
yes.
soft variety. The problem, and it continues to be a problem for eye people is having lenses that give you the equivalent of the vision. I assume you also wear bifocal glasses?
Right.
Okay. And giving you the ability, the quality of vision you have with glasses, and to this point it's still a challenge. Really, I guess the technology is just not quite there to give you that quality of vision that glasses deliver. It was the way I would respond to that. And that's why, to this point, often still one of the most successful ways of correcting the post-40 near-far vision problem is what we call monovision, where you correct one eye with a distance contact and the non-dominant eye with a reading lens.
If you spend a lot of time working on computers, does that make you crazy?
It varies. Some people probably, with that occupational demand, monovision sometimes does create more eye fatigue. Obviously, what a lot of people have resorted to, and again, it would not answer your problem, is who've worn contacts before, is they put reading glasses over their contacts, and often that will give them the optimal vision both far and near. Again, you're still then dependent on glasses.
Right.
What we sometimes have found is you modify it a little bit, put a bifocal contact in one eye and a distance contact in the other eye. That sounds, again, bizarre, but you can tweak the system. But your frustration is appreciated and shared by me also, because it is a difficult thing, and often the lenses just don't deliver. For instance, with a bifocal contact, the person will say, well, my vision for far away is good, but reading is a little weaker. So you adjust the reading, and then it alters the distance. And so I guess whenever you go to contacts in a general, this general, I guess, would be response, is you have to probably accept some level of compromise of your vision.
Okay. Thank you for your help.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you. Other questions are welcome. Our guest this morning, Jim Farron from Carl Clinic. And we're talking about vision issues, eye care, obviously things like glasses and contact lenses. But if you have other questions about vision problems, you can give us a call, and I know that he'll do his best to give you an answer.
The one thing I wanted to finish, and I had overlooked with the last gentleman's call, and usually there are other people out there. If the doctor has gone through several lenses and you're still not delivering the vision, chances are that vision probably is not out there with contact lenses to that person's capability. I don't think it really is so much a reflection of the doctor's inability to provide the appropriate lens, as opposed to it's probably just not going to be delivered.
So now, when you talk about a bifocal contact lens, are you actually talking about a lens that is divided? That is, it has different regions with different optimal focal
generally ranges? Generally, with a soft lens, and he was talking about soft lenses, is a lens where it's somewhat equivalent to a no-line bifocal in glasses. Mm-hmm. We call that a progressive lens. And where you have generally a center area that is distance, and then the perimeter of the lens, say the outer third all the way around, is manufactured to generate a reading ability. So when you look down, your focus shifts through the perimeter of the lens, and that gives you reading. Of course, that's imperfect, and often there's glare, and if the lens is not perfectly centered on your eye, that's a problem too. Whereas with glasses, the ability to have a more precise adjustment is much better.
All right. Our next caller is someone calling from a car phone. So we'll go there to line number two. Hello.
Hi.
Yes.
I got a comment and a question. I've been able to buy 100% UV glasses for $10-$12 through safety glass places and like shooting glasses, they claim 100% UV, and they're pretty clear. Can you hear me?
Yes, we're sure. We're listening. Yes, thanks. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
We weren't ignoring you. I was just listening to your comments. Sorry.
And my question was, does anyone make a non-corrective, or is there such a thing as a contact that has UV protection or, the same effect as sunglasses?
Well, two issues. Many of the soft contact lenses and also rigid lenses have a UV filter in them.
Mm-hmm.
The problem, of course, with contacts is they have not perfected it. Where perhaps if at some point where you develop a contact where you can get the sort of the photochromic effect where it's light inside and dark outside. Mm-hmm. Again, the problem with when you make a contact too dark, then, of course, when it's dark outside, you can't see. Or when you come into a room with less illumination. So there is UV filter available in a number of particularly soft contact lenses. And there obviously are tinted and color lenses, but generally they're done for cosmetic reasons. People wear colored contacts, but not really a sunglass contact lens. That's why often people will then, of course, put sunglasses over their contacts when they're in the outdoors.
Right. Well, I'm outdoors a lot when I need to be wearing glasses, and I'm sweating, and glasses just become, can't see through them anymore.
Yeah, yeah. And, of course, there's the type of glasses that also now available in plastic that darken relatively darkly outside and, of course, are essentially clear indoors. But you're still, as you say, stuck with the optical device.
Right. Thank you.
You're
All
welcome.
Right. Thanks for the call. To our next caller, this is Bloomington, Illinois. It's line number 4. Hello.
Good morning.
Yes.
Morning.
Getting back to sunglasses, what do you think about the wraparounds?
I think it's probably an effective lens. Often,
so that the sides are also dark.
Oh, I think that's good. Sometimes people may not be totally thrilled with the cosmetic appearance of those lenses, but probably if you're looking to have more of a total screening of sun, then the wraparounds do a better job than the traditional sunglass glasses.
Well, I have to wear them because I have to have prescription glasses and these wraparounds over them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, I think it's really quite effective and really probably does a better job than the regular glasses because, of course, they are parallel to the plane of your face, and then there's the areas on the side.
I don't care much about the appearance.
Yeah.
It's the effect on my eyes.
Right, right. But unfortunately, many people are concerned with how they look, too.
Well, of course, I'm an old man, so it doesn't matter to me.
Well, yeah, all I right, think if we're still much. Walking, we should be concerned.
What? Thank you.
Okay.
Right, thanks for the call. Other questions are welcome. The number here in Champaign-Urbana, 333-9455. We also have a toll-free line. That's good anywhere that you can hear us, 800-222-9455. We're talking about eye care, so if you have vision questions, our guest is Dr. Jim Farron from Carl Clinic. You just give us a call, and he'll do his best to answer your question. We had, we're talking a little bit about contact lenses and some of the problems with people who need a bifocal or a progressive lens. That is, they've gotten to that time when we have that problem we call presbyopia, where your eye just seems to lose its flexibility of focus, and so that's why sometimes people who never needed glasses before may find they need glasses for reading. Or people who wore single vision glasses successfully might suddenly find that they need bifocals because they can't focus on print. So going back to the contact issue, is there anything that's come along recently that's particularly new in terms of what contact lenses are made out of or how they're designed that is of note?
Yeah, I guess my reaction would be that not anything that just has made things more successful. Mm-hmm. I think one of course in contact lenses there's been a dramatic shift in I would say the last 10 years to soft lenses. So the vast majority of contact lens wearers today are soft. Rigid lenses still are a great material, but for a lot of people they just prefer the convenience of comfort of soft and also the advent of the disposable lens. So there are disposable bifocal contacts along with disposable lenses now too. So that would be one thing that would be, I guess, by several manufacturers that offer further convenience. Mm-hmm. And also with that, the costs are dramatically less expensive on replacement lenses.
Is the primary advantage of the disposable lens that you just don't have to do all that messing around with cleaning?
That's part of it. Yeah, I think there's a lot of things. The convenience. So again, context that just reflects many things in society in general. You're looking for more convenience, whether you're talking about restaurants or many items. So that's one thing. But also that we found that it's probably a healthier modality too, in that people, by changing their lenses more frequently, will have a fresher material. And also, compliance has always been a problem in contact lens care. And if you're replacing more frequently and consequently reducing and improving the solutions so you don't have to do as much to the lens, that's a positive thing, too. And I think really it offers, in many ways, a convenience, too. When you say you had a pair of lenses and you were out on a trip and you lost a lens, you were inconvenienced and sometimes literally handicapped if you didn't have glasses, where now you have, I would assume, a package of lenses where you could just pop one out of the case. And so there's an economic aspect to it, too. The costs have gone down for people, and also if they have they lose a lens, nobody is excited, or they tear a lens, but now they have a lens they can just pop in their eye, and they don't have to go through all the rigmarole to have that replacement ordered and picked up, etc.
For most people who use the disposable lenses, do they just wear them for one day and then toss them away and then the next day get up and open a new pack and put in a new one?
Well, that's one modality. There's a variety of modalities, sometimes a little bit dependent on cost. But there are lenses that sometimes are replaced. I would say it's still one of the less frequently used modes because it tends to be more expensive, the daily disposable. But there are a variety of lenses that are recommended to be replaced anywhere from, 2 weeks to quarterly, quarterly being every 3 months.
Back here to the phones and another person on cell phone, line number one. Hello.
Yes, hello.
Yes.
I'm 49 years old, and I've never worn glasses, but I'm experiencing the difficulty reading small print, and I'm not looking forward to having glasses. I'm wondering whether laser surgery would be a possibility for this difficulty with age of seeing. Otherwise, my eyesight is great.
Yeah, that's a good question. You really would not be, at this point, with the way technology is, a candidate for laser surgery. And probably, Dave, might be a topic, too, because primarily the candidate is a nearsighted person who's traditionally worn glasses or contacts their entire life. There is some work being done with the LASIK procedures and various refractive surgery to try to give that person the ability to read up close. But to this point, it is very unpredictable, and I guess I wouldn't recommend it. Someone like yourself, obviously the simplest solution, although the most sometimes painful, is just getting a pair of reading glasses of the appropriate strength. Another mode that sometimes people have found suitable is, particularly if you don't need correction for distance, is what I referred to earlier in the program, monovision. And in your case, you would perhaps put a reading contact in one eye. Again, not a perfect solution, but now you have the ability still to see far away, and that contact in the other eye gives you the ability to read, and as a consequence, you do not need to pick up a pair of reading glasses when you're looking at near-focus materials.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
And in all people, is one eye dominant?
Yes. I would also add that not everybody likes the system. It seems to work. Again, it's a compromise. It does have there was a problem recently, and I'm not sure that was the total reason, about a year and a half ago with airplane crash. I don't know if you recall that, where the pilot was wearing monovision.
Wow.
And there were other issues in that, but one of the investigators brought this to light where this affected this person's depth perception. So, but to go back to that, you know, for most people, it tends to work well. A lot of times, though, one of the solutions, too, is a three-lens combination, if we're talking about monovision, where you would have two distance contacts. Say if you're a tennis player and when you play tennis, you wear the distance contacts. Say if you are a teacher, we'll use that as an example, because that's an occupation where you have a variety of visual tasks. Then you put in that alternate lens where now you have the reading and near, or possibly a bifold. I mean, there are a lot of little parameters, little shifts you can use, but I don't know if that addresses what you were.
Yeah. Well, I would just well, that's interesting. I guess I was just the basic question about what I was wondering about was it assuming that for every person one eye is dominant, whether it tends
to
be
to that,
say if you're right-handed, is that always going to be your left
see,
eye?
Yeah, you were well, that is interesting, and there's also a little sidebar with sports that with talking about eye dominancy, which I've always found interesting. Mm. Most people will have a dominant eye, and almost always in well over 90% of the cases, the dominant eye is the side of the body. You say if you're right-handed, you throw a baseball, you eat with your right hand. Usually it's your right eye is dominant. Mm. So if you're doing, for instance, the monovision, usually you'll want to put the reading lens or the lens that blurs for distance in the non-dominant eye.
Okay.
Sometimes people don't have a real dominant eye, but I would say a good way to find out your dominant eye, a little test, is pick out across the room a picture with maybe a small object, you know, like a vase or something like that, and then just put your hands in a cupped fashion the size of maybe a half dollar as such, mm-hmm. and just sort of like you're looking through a telescope and focus on that image. Again, keeping that hand right at the eye plane, but out a bit, and it will gravitate towards your dominant eye. So if you close one eye and you don't see it, then that's your dominant eye. I mean, it's a simple test and one we often use. And there's a few other, a little bit more involved tests if it's not clear that you are. Sometimes people say, yeah, I eat with my right hand, I throw with my left hand. Just I was talking about sports, you know, wandering a little bit, but you might find this interesting. There's been a number of studies with particularly baseball players that often some of the better hitters have been cross-dominant. For instance, they bat left-handed, but they have a dominant right eye, so that gives them a chance to pick up the ball a little more quickly.
Okay, very interesting. Well, we got some other folks to talk with here. We're already at the midpoint. Our guest is Dr. Jim Farron from Carl Clinic. If you have vision questions, you can give us a call, 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455. We'll get back to it here with someone here in Champaign. This will be line number two. Hello.
Good morning.
Yes, good morning.
I have two questions. One's just a curiosity question. I'll ask that first. When these people were dark sunglasses day and night in the house and everything, you know, like some of the movie stars and places. Does that keep a lot of vitamin D from being created in the system?
There is some, I'm not sure I can answer that. There is some people feel that lenses absorb some of the natural light that triggers certain body reactions, and that possibly can affect that. That's mm-hmm. my best response that I would stop short of. I definitely am. Yet other people talk about excessive exposure to sunlight being harmful, you know, in terms of cataracts and macular degeneration.
I would think since vitamin D is absorbed through the skin that it wouldn't really, wearing sunglasses wouldn't
probably
wouldn't have
not
much of
that
effect.
Much. That I would go along with that, but I guess defer a little bit on that. I don't have a real great answer. I think the biggest problem with wearing sunglasses when it's not necessary is it's a little bit of a hazard, particularly at night. And also as a person ages, they need more light to their eyes, so that really when you wear a very dark sunglass indoors, it's hard to function.
Okay, the real question now. I wear bifocals, and the last time I had them made, it seems the two eyes don't exactly come to a point together when I look out the lens. And I had them corrected twice, and I just didn't have a nerve enough to say that's not right yet.
Now, when you say not corrected, you're talking about each eye independently sees a little differently? One is more clear than the other?
Yes, definitely.
Okay.
And when I look at things, I'm conscious that I nearly always look with the right eye, though sometimes I can shift to the left eye.
Mm-hmm. When you had your eye examination, did the doctor find anything else that he commented about your vision system, any other eye problems?
No.
Glaucoma, cataracts, anything like that?
No.
Okay. Sometimes there are conditions that can develop. I use the example of a cataract. And so a cataract, for instance, can affect one eye more than the other, so your vision might be a little different. So that would be one thing. The other thing is, again, although sometimes people say one eye sees better than the other, the difference is so mild how we measure eyes that I would say the eyes are the same. Yet that person's population sample being their only their eyes will say, yeah, one eye is much different, but yet it really is not that different. I don't know if that...
Well, I don't notice it now, but at first it was very, very bad.
Did you ever see double?
No, I've never seen double.
So, and you became aware of this by closing one eye and then comparing it and closing the other eye and looking at an object across the room?
I can see better with the one eye.
Uh-huh.
But when I used both eyes, it seemed like it didn't exactly give me a headache, but almost.
Mm-hmm. Well, sometimes when you change glasses, too, and your prescription changes, there's a perceptual adaptation to the new glasses that even though vision may be okay, literally the brain takes a bit of time, sometimes up to a week or two, to adjust. Mm-hmm. And then, as I said, sometimes there are other conditions that can develop in the eye that will limit the ability of one eye to see as clearly as the other eye. Sometimes, lenses only do so much. If there is some kind of condition developing in the eye that restricts that light or causes some light aberration, then it's going to cause that vision to be a little different in the other eye.
Well, if the distance should be different between my two eyes, if they should got it off just a little bit, would that affect my eyes in the long run?
Probably would not. No, I think in terms of one eye seeing less than the other eye?
Well, you know, they have to measure the two centers of your eyes.
Right.
To get that exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
And if it isn't exactly right, it's too wide or, you know, a little too narrow.
You're talking about the fit of the glasses now, I guess?
Yes.
No, I think, if the glasses are poorly fit, it's not a good thing, but it will not cause any eye deterioration or eye pathology.
That's what I wanted to
know. No, not at all. It might give you a headache. It might limit your visual effectiveness. It might create eye fatigue, but it will not damage your eyes.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, we'll go on here to someone else locally. This is line number 3. Hello.
Yes, good morning.
Mm-hmm. Good morning.
I have a daughter who's 14. And she's nearsighted and has some astigmatism as well. And she's interested in contact lenses. And I was wondering if you could make any recommendations one way or the other as to how useful contact lenses are for people with astigmatism or whether they're more expensive and so on.
Sure, that's a very fair question. Does she currently wear glasses?
Yes.
Okay, and she's worn glasses for a while?
A couple of years, yeah.
Okay, so she's moderately nearsighted. Do you know if she has a lot of astigmatism?
I don't know.
Because that's a variability, too. Contacts, it is a little bit driven by the what the numbers in the prescription are, but astigmatism would not limit the wear of contact lenses at all. Both in rigid and also in soft, even if a person has a higher magnitude, a higher value of the astigmatism, then just most people have a small amount to begin with who wear glasses. But say if your amount is higher than average, that still is not a limiting factor. Your vision may not perhaps be quite as crisp as with glasses, but it would not be a limiting factor. And, of course, if you said it's a daughter, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, and I think the other issue, too, particularly of a 14-year-old, is the whole cosmetic aspect of glasses. Some people, particularly younger people, prefer to not have to be, if you will, strapped to their glasses. So there's that whole cosmetic social aspect to contacts, which is, I think, very important.
Okay. What do you think of the different duration soft contact lenses, like daily, monthly? Is any of those better than another?
Not necessarily. I think obviously some it has to be a little bit determined by what lens fits best. I think that convenience and what people in terms of how often they want to replace them, the quality of their eyes, if they have perhaps dry eyes, sometimes some lens is better than another, a number of issues. So I would stop short of saying one lens is superior than the other lens.
Okay. Sounds like something to take up with my eye care professional.
Yeah, very, very much so, because there are really our host of alternatives. But just to summarize, I think your daughter, obviously, particularly if she's motivated, and if she is, that's a half the battle, would be probably a good candidate for contact lenses.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right. Very good. Another local person here to line number one. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
I have a problem with the...
Pardon me, sir, but it help us if you turn your radio down.
This one. Okay.
Yes, good, thanks.
My problem is the lenses that are being prescribed have been sort of progressively smaller. Therefore, the segment for reading is smaller. And I find that my most recent set, I have trouble reading. I have to sort of tilt my head up to see the top of a larger page. And I find that awkward. I've recently had reading glasses prescribed. I have those. That, of course, makes it very easy. I don't have to tilt my head because it reads all the way to the top. But I'm wondering why they've been reducing the sizes of the lenses, which may affect the issue of having this flexibility in reading.
No, I think that's true. I think obviously you are going to be the person who determines the frame size, too. I think it's driven a little bit by style. Frames, of course, have gotten smaller in size, but that's not to say you have to choose a smaller frame.
Well, I didn't choose. It was offered.
Mm-hmm.
And I was not aware of the possible problem.
Yeah. Well, I think some of the newer, I actually myself personally had chosen recently a smaller frame, and that was one of my concerns because I do wear a progressive or an invisible bifocal lens, and I was concerned that just as you said, the reading area would not be enough. And the optical person, the optician, said, well, this is not as a great problem anymore because we've developed, their lenses have been developed where the change from the far to the near is much quicker. There's not as much an intermediate transition area. But I would agree, a lot of times with particularly with smaller lenses, that reading area is a little smaller. And you touched on an area that I was going to recommend, and you beat me to the punch, and that is when you do a lot of close work, I think one of the great solutions is getting a pair of single vision reading lenses just set for the reading focus. And that eliminates that head tilt and adjustment. And also this type of lens often will work well with a computer where you have to tilt your head anyway.
Well, to me, the issue of getting to have a separate pair means I've switched glasses. And that's fine. And I've never had to do this before.
Mm-hmm. No, I think that's true. I think the other thing, too, is if you've gotten this new pair of glasses recently.
Yes.
Okay.
A year ago.
Well, that's not true. I was thinking a year. Often if a person is not satisfied with something, then most places have some level of guarantee and that you would want to return back to the dispenser and just share your frustrations and possibly be fit with something that might be a little larger and a little bit more appropriate to your visual demand.
I had trifocals one time because I was working video with mapping.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That was a very useful. But again, I never had any problem shifting from one level of reading to the other.
Well, no, I think that your comment about size is probably the significant one. And as I said, generally if a person is unhappy with something, they need to return to the dispenser and see if they can get it resolved.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Okay, thank you. To our toll-free line here for someone in Indiana, this is Linton, Indiana. It's line number 4. Hello.
Yeah, can you hear me?
But it's a little tough, but go ahead. And I think we can hear you well enough to get your question.
I'm on a car phone.
Okay.
Anyway, question is, I work for a company that requires you to wear safety glasses. And myself and some of the fellow employees have noticed when you hold the safety glasses up to a newspaper, or any type of written material, that it they actually magnify the material that you're reading. And my question is that something that can harm eyes, wearing safety glasses that magnify?
Let me ask you, these safety glasses, say in your case, are merely safety glasses without any optical prescription in them? They're just for protection?
That's correct. At least that's what they're – I mean, they're not made in prescription form, right?
Right. There's this theoretically what we call plano or zero-power lenses.
Yeah, they're plastic.
Yes. They should. First of all, they shouldn't. They should not have any effect on printed material if they have no power in them, unless they were maybe made. The prescription was somehow made off a little bit. But to answer your question, as someone else earlier in the program, really, if it's not going to hurt your eyes, no. It might be a distraction. It might give you a little blur. It might give you a little eye strain, but it would not damage your eyes.
So, in other words, if a person wore these 8 hours a day and they did have some magnification in them that shouldn't necessarily be there for this person's eyes, over a period of 5 or 6 or 8 or 10 years, it's still not going to have an adverse effect or maybe cause you to have glasses earlier than...
No, not necessarily. How old are you right now?
I'm 42.
Okay. Well, see, now you're getting into an area where you very well may need...
I just recently had to start buying reading glasses.
Yeah, there you go. So...
I guess my question was, could that have been, you know, eliminated if I hadn't been wearing?
Yes.
The safety glasses was just one of those things where we were reading newspapers and somebody said, look at that, those things magnify.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we were just running it back and forth off the print and on the print, and literally all 5 pair of them that we looked at did.
This seemed, that would be surprising. You wonder what they made something to take up with the safety officer at the company or the lab that produces the lenses. But I think to answer your question, that change in focus has been more of a function of age rather than the lenses.
Okay. That answers my question.
Okay.
Okay. Very good. We have about 10 minutes left. In this part of Focus 580 with Dr. Jim Farron from Carl Clinic, you have vision questions. You can call us 333-9455. Also, toll-free 800-222-9455. Someone called in earlier and asked the question about the surgical correction for vision problems. And I think it's something that now, you know, people have heard more and more about. It's becoming a more established procedure. And I'm sure for people who have worn glasses for... maybe a lot of their lifetime, people who are very nearsighted, the idea that there could be a surgical correction and then you wouldn't have to wear your glasses anymore, or maybe you would have to wear glasses for reading, but for a lot of your life you could get along without them. This has great appeal. This idea has great appeal. What is now the state of the art on surgical correction for vision problems?
Well, definitely it is. I would also add refractive surgery is not a new concept, but it's not been until the last 3 or 4 years with the advent of LASIK procedure that it's been widely embraced because the success rate has been so much better than some of the previous procedures, radial keratotomy being the most prominent over the many years. It definitely is been helpful for most people. Qualifiers on that, and that is for most people after 40, their correction will be very helpful. And it's primarily we're speaking about nearsighted people. The farsighted are candidates, but not as much as astigmatism. But a nearsighted person almost always will have dramatically better vision, but they will not be corrected for close focus. And that's why I'm not the greatest advocate, but some people have actually had refractive monovision, where one eye was corrected lesser than the other eye, so they had a little more near focus in one eye, although the distance was blurry, and more distance correction in the other eye. Again, with contacts, you could just stop wearing them and you go back to your natural state, but this is a permanent fix.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, so that is a little bit of a limiting feature. The other thing that is some person my general reaction to refractive surgery is good, and a lot of people have liked it. Just the fact that so many prominent athletes, Tiger Woods being an example, have had LASIKs, I think, 3 or 4 years ago. But people often will also say, I want to see better. And the one qualify I would put there is you will see better without your glasses or contacts, but you may not see better than you did when you had your correction on prior to the surgical procedure.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a subtle difference, but the majority of people who have the procedure will at least have the ability to pass a driver's test. They may not reach 20/20. It just depends on results, but they will see better.
And nowadays, what's the ballpark cost?
Boy, that's a good one because in some markets, particularly larger metropolitan areas, it has become almost a commodity. You just have to turn on the radio and say a Chicago station.
Mm-hmm.
But generally speaking, the range had been in the vicinity of $2,000 an eye. It's less than that in many places. But again, I think the thing people have to also find out is if a surgeon says it's X dollars per eye, does that include follow-up or is that just the procedure? Are there any other costs? So sometimes I think there are other ancillary costs that are not reflected in that initial quote.
So you have to ask what's the
what's
the total
total
package?
And is there any other costs if the surgeon is just going to do the procedure and then they're general eye doctor is going to do the follow-up. Things like that will often affect final cost.
All right. We have some other folks to talk with. Champaign, line one. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
How you doing?
Good. Good morning.
Going back to the sunglasses, and I missed sort of the middle of the show, so maybe this question has been answered. But anyway, you said that you suggested it might take $50 to get a reasonable UV protection in sunglasses. And it seems to me that I picked up sunglasses in the drugstore for $10, $12, $15 that have a label on them that says it's 100% or 99% UV protection. Am I missing something, or is that okay?
If that is labeled, then that would be fine. I hated to quote prices. I don't work with the glasses. I mean, there's such a wide variety. I just use that as sort of an average number, I guess. But if that is the lens is labeled with certain level of UV that seems good, then far be it from me to say that that's a bad lens for you.
So you would trust the label?
Yeah, it should.
Is there a level that's needed? Is it 90% or 100 or 25 or what is it that you would look for?
There's a certain level of what part of the UV spectrum is being filtered.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess that's what I would look at.
And how do you know that by the label?
It should be represented on the label. And I would say, I mean, you have the label in front of you. I guess I would ask what was written on it so I can maybe more accurately comment.
Yeah, well, I don't have a label in front of me, but
yeah.
I was thinking if I went to the drugstore, what should the label say so that I'm assured that I'm getting adequate protection?
I would assume probably 90% of UV if you want to put a percentage on.
Okay.
I have not looked at these labels, so I don't want to start giving you numbers that, but that would probably be a...
So if it says 90 or something like that percent UV protection, then I'm assured it's okay.
That would be reasonable, yes.
Okay. Thanks much.
All right. Thank you. To Chicago, line number four. Hello.
Thank you. How much benefit do you say full-spectrum lighting might be for our general visual enhancement?
That's an interesting question, and there's been some work done on that because... there actually, you can buy fluorescent lights and light bulbs with full spectrum lighting. So I definitely think it has some merit.
Health-wise as well as visually, yeah.
Yeah, some people feel that way. Most people are not interested in the additional outlay of cost to purchase full spectrum lighting, but. I mean, it's something to think about, I guess.
So, one other question. Some years ago in Prevention Magazine, there was a doctor who was retiring. He decided to explore the nutritional elements in the eye, and he apparently came up at that time with the fact that the vitreous humor is so much vitamin C, ascorbic acid, and other trace minerals, zinc, and so on and so on. Is there any nutritional things that we should say should use optimally to benefit our eyes besides vitamin C?
Again, you know, we're getting into an area that there is some debate on, and that is not only just with the eyes, but the value of nutritional supplements in general.
Yeah.
Relative to the eye, I guess the three things that would be of some probably benefit would be vitamin A, vitamin C, and antioxidant vitamin, I believe, E.
Well, another question would be, in terms of examining the eyes, are doctors now have the capacity to determine if a person had something like a stroke or some other thing they can notice that would be able to warn a patient of a condition they have and maybe we're not aware or
some medical conditions can be detected from an ocular examination. Diabetes comes to mind immediately. Generally, though, if a person there's manifestations of diabetes in the eye, that condition probably has been there for a while, and often it will be manifest in other things in that person's life, often before an eye exam, because if you have diabetic change in your eye, you've had diabetes for a while. Hypertension is another issue,
Well, thank you very
problem.
Much.
Okay, thank you. For individuals who would say that they don't feel that they have any problems with their vision, so would have no particular reason to have an eye exam, are there things, though, that periodically should be checked? Yeah, I guess the big thing I'm sort of thinking about is glaucoma. Mm-hmm. And that's something that you can have if you can have a glaucoma and not have other sorts of vision symptoms.
Yeah, I think, glaucoma as an eye disease is present in perhaps 2% of the population generally after 40. So somebody who's 25 or 30 would be an unlikely candidate. But it would not it's also a slower progressing eye disease too. So if, say, the question is, if you have a normal vision, you don't have a vision correction, should you get your eyes and how examined and how often? And I would say that person perhaps once every 5 years would be reasonable. I think if you have an ocular prescription, every 2 to 3 years is reasonable. Younger people whose eyes are more changing, say, under 25, under 20, maybe annually would be a recommendation.
Okay. Well, thanks very much.
You're welcome.
For being there. Jim Farron from Carl Clinic in Urbana. He's with us. We do this every year to talk about eyes and eye care.